Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
To think that the Lord's Prayer is spoken regularly in all those different languages. Let us join those voices and say the Lord's Prayer now. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Are you happy with your current prayer life? Now, everyone has different spiritual gifts and different levels of skill or confidence within each of the spiritual disciplines. Today, I'm hoping to help us level up our prayer skills. Now, if you're into computer games, you've most likely played a game where you get to create a character. You get to decide what they look like and what skills they have. You have a limited amount of points, and you can use them to make the character strong or nimble, smart or wise, charismatic or hardy, and then you assign certain skills that they're good at. Some games, if you choose wrong, your character's no use and you basically have to start over. However, there are other games where you get to learn the skill as you play it, and the more you do a skill, the better you get at it. Now, which one do you think is more like real life? The one you build the skill as you go. The more you work at a skill, the better you get. You can't just gain experience and put it into a different skill. Like, you can't be a really great baker and learn all the baking skills and then just decide to chuck it onto being a mechanic. That's not how it works. Usually in these games, the leveling up structure works exponentially. Going from level 1 to 2 is pretty easy. It might take maybe 50 experience points. But by the time you get to level 10, it could take over 9,000. The same is true for real life. You can pick up a new skill pretty quickly, but to master it takes a lot of time and effort. So one of the areas of my Christian walk that I feel is personally lacking is my prayer skills, my prayer life. I feel like I just don't pray well. I'm really bad at praying out loud, and I feel like I don't have the right words. And when I pray, I feel like it's not very mature. Now, growing up, I remember it must have been in Junior Soldiers, and we learnt the Lord's Prayer, and we made a list of all the people that we wanted to pray for. So every night, I would pray the Lord's Prayer and go down this list of people. And that is fine when you're young and you're learning how to pray, but I found that quite often, you just run through it from memory, and you wouldn't really, not that you wouldn't mean it, but there's sort of a disconnect. And like you were just reading through a list, and then you'd finish your prayer and go on your way. As you go through life, there seems to be times that you feel close to God, and times that you feel like you're just talking to thin air. And it can feel like, what's the point of even praying at all? For myself, I want my prayers to be more powerful and less insipid. I don't want to just pray for longer. I want to pray deeper. How about you? Psalm 145:18-19. God's there, listening for all who pray, for all who pray and mean it. He does what's best for those who fear him, hears them call out and saves them. It's not about the words we say, it's about the heart we bring to prayer. Luke 18:9-14. Jesus told this story to some people who thought they were very good and looked down on everyone else. A Pharisee and a tax collector both went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood alone and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people who steal, cheat, or take part in adultery or evil like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give 1/10 of everything I get. The tax collector, standing at a distance, would not even look up to heaven. But he beat on his chest because he was so sad. He said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, when this man went home, he was right with God. But the Pharisee was not. All who make themselves great will be made humble, but all who make themselves humble will be made great. I think we need to remember to whom we are speaking when we pray. Would you go up to the Prime Minister or the Queen and tell them all about how great you were and just keep talking at them and then tell them the things they should do for you? I don't think you would. Sometimes I think we get caught up in our own needs and we just go to God and ask for things, which he does fulfill our needs. But we sort of need to come with more. We need more of a relationship. And I know a lot of you in this church are very committed prayer warriors. So I apologise if some of this is oversimplified for you because you've already maxed out your prayer skill. But I felt God impressing on me that we needed to encourage us to pray big prayers, bold prayers, and not just leave it to a few. Prayer is defined as encompassing all communication with God. It includes three main forms. Communion, just being in God's presence. Not necessarily talking, but enjoying his presence. There's petition, which is asking God for our needs. And intercession. Intercession involves standing in the gap. And intervention, stepping in on somebody else's behalf. If you're honest, where do your prayers usually fall? I am trying to be better, but a lot of the time, my prayers would fall into the petition category. If life gets busy, your prayer time gets squeezed out, and it will result usually in a quick prayer, most likely when you've got a pressing need. Now, quick prayers are great and powerful, and sometimes the most heartfelt prayer is help. But I've felt for myself that I need to discipline myself to carve out specific time for prayer, more time, more deeper prayer. I want to spend more time and get to know God, his heart, his character, and to be able to hear his voice when he speaks. Now, my yearning for a deeper prayer life came about particularly when I started reading a book that Nana had lent me. It's called No Easy Road. It's an older book, and some of the content is a reflection of the times that it was written in, but a lot of it is still relevant today, even though it was written back in the 70s. The book talked about several inspirational men of prayer who set aside large chunks of time in prayer. One such inspirational man was Martin Luther, who is quoted to have said when asked of his plans for the following day, "Work, work, and more work, from early until late. In fact, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." Now that's very admirable. And I don't know if it's times that have changed or our attitude towards prayer that's changed, but I don't know how many people nowadays would be able to spend 3 hours in prayer. I don't even know if I could sit still for 3 hours. Now, I can't recall the author having written about any praying women in this book. And like I said, it was probably more a reflection of the times than the fact that there weren't actually any praying women. I saw a quote a while ago that said, "The reason you hear about men's mountaintop experiences is because the women have too many responsibilities. They can't just leave them to go to a mountaintop." A mountaintop experience wouldn't be quite the same with two kids and a screaming toddler now, would it? But just because they can't get away doesn't mean they can't pray. Susanna Wesley, who was the mum of Greats for God, John and Charles Wesley, she had 11 children. And she's reported to when she wanted to spend some time in prayer, she would sit down in her chair and put her apron over her head. And this signified that she wanted some quiet time with God and that you weren't to disturb her. She knew in her life if she didn't make time, there wouldn't be time for prayer. Even though No Easy Road was written 50 years ago, it still does ring true today. An unnamed writer is quoted to have said, "In this restless and busy age, most of us live our lives too much in public. We spend our spiritual strength and forget to renew it. We multiply engagement and curtail our prayers. By an error of judgment, or perhaps by the subtle force of inclination, which we mistake for necessity, we work when we ought to pray, because to an active mind, work is far easier than prayer. Now, that could have been written about today now, couldn't it? People nowadays have such short attention spans. We're almost like hummingbirds. We stop only for a second before we've moved on to the next thing, or we're doing like four things at once. Now, although having a specific time that you've predetermined for prayer is great, or having a length of time that you want to pray for, I don't think it's about the time that you spend. It's more important that you actually do pray and how you pray. I don't think the specific time is important to God, more that you're actually engaged and present with Him when you do pray. Would you rather a 1 hour phone call with someone who keeps getting distracted, putting you on hold, going and doing something else, coming back, or would you rather to spend 5 minutes with someone face to face and have their whole attention? I believe quality time is more important than quantity time. Over my life, I've had times when I've been in prayer and in tears, marvelling at how awesome the sacrifice of Jesus is, and acutely aware of just how broken we are, and been humbled at how much God can love me and how much He loves the world. But I've also had times when I felt so distant and cold towards God that I just couldn't pray. I didn't see the use. Why would God listen to me? And I've spent time at various stages in between that, where you just kind of say the words and then you go on. In the years after Mum died, I had a lot of dark times where I missed her so much and I was hurting so deeply, I just couldn't pray. I didn't want to pray and I didn't feel like God was near. But prayer doesn't bring God to us. It brings us to God. God doesn't need my prayers. I need my prayers. Over the last year, I started having this really weird health issue. My right ovary just kept getting bigger. It ended up like quadrupling in size. And because it was so big, it started moving and trying to twist. And apparently, the pain of a twisted ovary is the closest you can get to organ failure without actually losing an organ. So you can imagine when I had these episodes, I was in a lot of pain. The doctors didn't know why it had grown so big, and I had ultrasounds and MRIs. And thankfully it wasn't cancerous, it had just grown big. And my options were either surgery or to just live with it. And I didn't want to lose an otherwise healthy ovary, so I just chose to try to manage it. My weapons of choice were pain management, a heat pack, and prayer. I'd worked out if I stood too long or walked too much, it would set it off and it would start to tip, and then the pain would start. But if I laid down, it would kind of fall back into the right place and it would be okay for a while. So I don't know if you ever noticed me sitting really weirdly during the sermon, because I could feel the pain coming on and the only way to get it to stop would be to kind of like tilt it and push it back into position. Genesis 50:20. You meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many people, which is being done. Because it was an internal issue, I couldn't bandage it up, I couldn't tell when it was going to start, and all I could do was pray. At its worst, pain medication didn't help. And I had several really bad attacks where thankfully I was at home, but all I could do was lay in the fetal position and basically ride it out. And there was a lot of crying and a lot of praying because those were my only options. And I got an insight into Romans 8:26. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. When the pain gets so bad, all you can do is groan. And our intercessory prayers should come from a place of empathy where we feel so much for the people we are praying for that we are moved to tears, to groans, because their need is so great. Once I'd worked out how to stop the pain before it got too bad, I got to the good part. The only way I could get relief was to lay down. So when it would start hurting, I would go and lay down. And it would be particularly bad in the morning. I'd get up, try to start getting ready for the day, then the pain would start and I'd have to go and lay down for a bit. So I used that time intentionally to just chill with God. Do you ever get time where you can just chill with God? You aren't doing anything else? I love praying in bed personally because it's you're warm and comfy. It's kind of just you and God. And sometimes I wake up randomly in the early hours of the night. And instead of stressing about going back to sleep, I use it as an excuse to spend some time with God. For several months, I suffered with this pain coming and going, and it was quite limiting. I was praying for healing, but it just seemed to be temporary, which at the time I was thankful for, because when you're in pain, even a little bit of healing is great. But I wanted to be free of it. I didn't want to live in fear of when the next attack would happen. I was quite miserable to be around because I was in fairly constant, kind of medium levels of pain. And I would walk around holding my pelvis because otherwise it would feel like it would fall out. So I wasn't great fun to be around. But when the Robinsons came not long ago, Kay prayed for me. And we prayed for complete healing. I needed a miracle. The only way my situation was going to change was a miracle at that point. Now, I struggle to pray with confidence. I know God is able to heal. He's able to do anything. What I struggle with is believing that He will do it for me. Who has the confidence to wake up a king in the middle of the night? Only their child. We are children of God, and we have that access. 1 John 5:13-15. In the Message translation says, "My purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion, and how bold and free we then become in His presence, freely asking according to His will, sure that He is listening. And if we're confident that He's listening, we know that what we've asked for is as good as ours." Now, sometimes we do have to wait. Sometimes the answer gets delayed, and sometimes the answer isn't what we asked for. I've known Kay since I was little, and I know she is a mighty woman of God. And even though I didn't have the boldness to claim it myself, I knew she did. So even though I didn't feel different at the time, I kept claiming that healing in Jesus' name as she'd instructed. And I had a few niggles of pain after that, and I was struggling with doubt. So I asked God for proof. I wanted a definite testimony. I wanted a new scan to show that it had shrunk. There was no reason for it to shrink by itself. So if it had shrunk, it must have been God. But until I was proved otherwise, I continued to believe I had been healed and accredited it to God. In this specific situation, my first prayer was that the ovary wasn't enlarged because it was cancerous. And that was answered. My ovary was just bulky because there was more normal tissue. My next prayers were for pain relief, and they were consistently answered, even if they took longer than I hoped. And finally, we prayed for complete healing and for the ovary to shrink. And I want to praise God because that has also been answered. When I had my dating scan a few weeks ago, the sonographer measured the ovaries, and the right one had significantly decreased in size. 1 Thessalonians 5:17-18 says, "Pray continually and give thanks whatever happens. That is what God wants for you in Christ Jesus." So I want to encourage us to pray bold prayers, to pray bigger prayers, not just petition prayers, but to pray for other people around us. While I was cleaning out Mum's stuff, I found a note that she had written. And it said, "Before you talk to someone about God, talk to God about that someone. We want to fill our church with people seeking God and passionate about God, and we need to start by praying for them. And I'm sure some of you are already doing that. Let's keep going. Let's work on broadening our prayers, widening our scope, deepening our connection to God. Let us not be disappointed when we don't see results straight away. Let's keep praying consistently like Daniel did for his community." Sometimes when you're playing a computer game, you get to a point where you're fighting the big enemy and you go and attack them and you find the rest of your team has gotten stuck on like a rock or they're fighting some weird little enemy over there and you've got to go over there, rally them and bring them back to the main enemy. Can you hear God's rallying call? Let's refocus our efforts on what matters, getting souls to heaven. Romans 3:9-24. So where does that put us? Do we Jews get a better break than the others? Not really. Basically, all of us, whether insiders or outsiders, start out in identical conditions, which is to say that we all start out as sinners. Scripture leaves no doubt about it. There's nobody living right, not even one. Nobody who knows the score. Nobody alert for God. And it's clear enough, isn't it, that we're sinners. Every one of us in the same sinking boat with everybody else. Our involvement with God's revelation doesn't put us right with God. What it does is force us to face our complicity in everyone else's sin. But in our time, something new has been added. What Moses and the prophets witnessed to all those years has happened. The God setting things right for us, and not only for us, but for everyone who believes in him. For there is no difference between us and them in this. Since we've compiled this long and sorry record of sinners and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious life God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, he put us in right standing with himself, a pure gift. He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where he's always wanted us to be. And he did it by the means of Jesus Christ. We all start in the same sinking boat. We've all sinned and fallen short. Imagine life to be like you're on the Titanic. However, since the fall of man, it's more like the capsizing Titanic. We're all going down. If you've given your heart to God and confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a place in the lifeboat, and we know our final destination is heaven. However, there are so many souls floating in the water, sinking in their sin. Will you put out your hand to them? There is room in the lifeboat. Let us not be comfortable just sitting in the lifeboat. Let our hearts break for those we can see sinking in the water. Let us engage in intercessory prayer for them and stand in the gap and plead for them. Let us not be like the first-class passengers who had a half-filled lifeboat and they just turned their backs and sailed away. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." By drawing near to God, we will become more like God, and the things he cares about will be the things we care about. Let us draw near to God, deepen, enrich, and embolden our prayer life. Let us live in a way that everyone we meet feels the Father's love through us. As we sing our next song, I hope you can continue to think on how your prayer life is currently, whether we want the passions of our heart to be what drives our prayer life. If you're passionate about the things, you'll pray for longer and you'll pray harder. We want our hearts to break for those people who don't know God.